I'm not belly hungry, so to speak, to sell the work as much. That's a good thing, but that's also, it could be a bad thing too. I want a full-time career in art, but I also want to be totally free.
Welcome to the Passionate Painter Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Italia Carlson. Whether your art is a full-time career or your side gig, if you are passionate about creating art, this podcast is for you. Don't worry about taking notes. I'll do that for you. And you can find them at PassionatePainterPodcast.com. Welcome back. In this interview, I get to introduce you to my new friend, Jacob Bartanis, a fellow artist of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Jacob reached out to me to comment about the show. I checked out his work and was blown away by its dynamic energy and many layers, both literal and figurative. In addition to his fascinating work, Jacob's art journey has been quite an adventure. I'm excited to share his upbeat, curious outlook with you. He's a very bright light, and I can't wait to see what he does next. Jacob is currently showing his work at coffee shop and art gallery, Palette Coffee and Art, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as a participant in this year's Art Prize Show. Grand Rapids hosts the Art Prize Show once a year, with local businesses sponsoring artists. The work is judged by a panel and by the public. The show runs from mid-September to mid-October. This interview ran long, so I've broken it into two parts for listening convenience. Part two is available now at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode82. Incidentally, during the audio version of this podcast, if you're listening and not watching the video, you'll notice we talk about the meaning behind a few of Jacob's paintings as he brings them on screen during the Zoom call. So if you're curious to see what exactly he's pointing to and we're discussing, you can find that in the video on the show notes pages for this interview. And it's all in one video. I kept the Zoom video whole, but I posted it on the show notes page for part one and part two for your convenience. So it's wherever you look. I'm happy to announce, as promised, in addition to my full master class, The Portrait Code, 7 new Spotlight courses are now available for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. I've had requests for those who only want the targeted training to pull these out of the master class so that they can be available individually if desired. As always, they're available at incredible prices because I want them to be accessible. You can check them out and see course content by going to PassionatePainterAcademy.com. Jacob Bartanis has been a creative creature for as long as he can remember. He is completely self-taught. His passions are abstraction, lowbrow, and graffiti art. When Jacob was 12, coming from a broken home and deeply closeted, he would look at art to shield him from the world. Many years later, he witnessed the death of his brother to a drug overdose and sank into a deep depression. He lost everything. While homeless for a number of months, Jacob would again look to his art to save him. He'd park his truck underneath the lights of vacant parking lots and allow himself the freedom to have a secret voice. For the last 5 years, Jacob has primarily focused on using acrylic paint as a medium. Jacob's art speaks from the poverty line that he's walked down for most of his life. As he grows as an artist, these will be the roots which nourish the many leaves of his ever-growing and changing life as that creative creature. Jacob, welcome to the podcast.
Hi,
I'm so glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you too.
Thank you. So, Jacob and I met when he reached out to me and sent a comment for the podcast. So, letting the listeners know, that's a great way to reach me and get on my radar. And your work is dynamic and fascinating.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's start out with your story and where you've been and where you are today on a practical level regarding having the time to make your art.
for as long as I can remember, I remember painting and drawing, or mostly drawing. And my mom, when she was in college, she would bring home these boxes of paper that, because back then they didn't have computers, they had typewriters. That was a computer. And she brought home these papers that you know, they connect and you rip off the sides. And so as soon as she pulled the paper out, I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I can just keep drawing with my crayons, you know? And I just kept stretching that paper out. And yeah, it's been about 6 years that I actually took it on a more serious kind of thing. At least how it all developed. And it developed first in my mind, like the thought of becoming an artist, you know? Because I knew I love this thing that I do. And it's still a discovery process. So I'm still kind of learning as I go. You know, I'm taking these baby steps toward a greater picture, a greater success story. And it started off, you know, you find yourself in like these jobs that you don't like and things like that. And I kept quitting or getting fired or, you know, and I was like, man, like nothing's working. I wonder why. And well, it clicked because I'm not putting me into it. So, and I thought to myself, I said, well, I have a son, he's 10. And at the time he was just a baby, but I was like, man, I want to be an artist, but I have the responsibility of being a dad too. And I want to be practical about it. So I got with my dad and I said, I was homeless at the time. And I said, Dad, would you watch Thalo for a year so I can go over the road? And I would find a permanent location for me to be in because Florida wasn't really working out and that's where I lived. And I wanted just to start over. I wanted a new, fresh start somewhere where I can be, you know, me, and, you know, my creative journey would begin there, wherever it is. Anyways, he said he agreed. And I saved my money up and I lived in the truck and I would park in like empty parking lots. Down south, they had a grocery store called Winn-Dixie. I would park behind Winn-Dixie and I would sleep in my truck and I would sketch at, you know, in night, in the morning, and just dream about this life that has yet to happen. And in that sketching and in that drawing process, I you know, these thoughts became more than just like, oh, I hope it happens. It actually like gave me the voice to like actually like put my feet forward toward it. And I think becoming the truck driver and having that experience like really helped me as well, like not only obtain financially the security, but also give me inspiration in a lot of my artwork as well. Meeting new people and going to new places and viewing the world, so to speak, as far as like the United States.
Wow. So you're from Florida?
I'm not originally. No, you could basically put me in a Johnny Cash song. I've been everywhere. I was born in Pennsylvania, but I've lived in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, Florida, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and lower state Michigan, and upper right now here in upstate.
Wow. Okay. Well, I love that you said when you were doing this and you were kind of vision casting that you were projecting your thoughts to where the life you wanted to have down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that there's equity in that. I think that's how we get where we want to go. We have to know where we want to end up, even if a lot of the time is spent on the journey to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, if you don't know where you want to go, you can't get there until you know where the end point, at least the goal of the end point, is.
I think a lot of it has to do with believing in yourself. And just like truly like harnessing the, not just like, because I think a lot of artists, including myself, we all have doubts about our work. We go through that like self-doubt phase. Even now today, I'll ask my fiance, I'll tell him to come in the studio. I'll say, what do you think of this painting? And I always get like, it's good. And I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I want someone to, like when I create something, I get like, and you know, this immersive, like explosive feeling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like the energy coming out onto the canvas. And me being gay, I never really was a boisterous kind of like coming, you know, like I was always like talkative when you got to know me, but quiet usually, and an observer. And the only way I could like actually be an activist in my own voice and my own way is on the canvas. It's the one place where I can actually like say what I want to and not give a damn.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and that's what I guess if there was a style or what I'm reaching for my art, that would be it. It's just my voice.
That sounds great. And I get what you're saying, but I got to tell you, it could be worse. my husband has, and he's amazing, but he's got this habit of telling me his honest opinion no matter what. And sometimes I just want him to go, I know, it's great, right? I just want him to go, oh, it looks amazing. And sometimes he'll go, and I'm like, really? And the worst part is most of the time he can't tell me why he doesn't like something or why he thinks it's like, meh. He'll just go, something's off, but I can't really tell you why. And I'm like, dude, that is not acceptable. Yeah, if you want to go, you know, it looks great. I like the direction. Like, I'm teaching him how to actually give me a review. And I'm like, well, that's not a true review, right? But I'm like, tell me what you like about it. And then tell me what's not working specifically. I'm like, is it the angles of the lines? Is it the weight of the shape? Like, what? And he's like, I don't know. It just doesn't look right. And then he'll leave. And I'm like, or he'll go, it looked better. You should have left it the way it was. I'm like, oh, and I'm like, why do I ask? But I need him to tell me these things. I need his feedback.
Right.
I need the honesty, but I don't like the honesty if they don't know how to tell you what they don't like. It's so frustrating.
Right. Doug will do the either it's good, or I'll be like, I'll be like, okay, what do you think about this specific area of the canvas that I'm currently working on? And then Doug will do this thing where he'll be like, he'll look on another part of the canvas and go, but why is the eye crooked?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then
I didn't
be
ask
like,
you about the eye.
Yeah, right. And I'll be like, please just focus.
Oh yeah.
So I get like, you know, I get, sometimes it's like really good, his feedback, because it helps me, but in other ways it just agitates me a little bit. And I'm like, oh, why'd you say that? And now all I can look at is that eye that's crooked.
Yeah. You know? Now you can't unsee it. Yeah. My husband did that the other day, and I asked him, I tried to do what you said, and I asked him specifically, like, what do you think about this? You know, I just fixed it. And he's like, oh, that looks fine. But the mouth, and I'm like, no, I do not want, I'm not doing this. And he's like, well, it just looks, and he had some specifics that actually I did not take well, the way he put it. All it was right. Not kind. And I'm like, oh, this is so painful. Why do I do this? But then I went in and I fixed the mouth, because then I can't leave it alone. And he made the painting better. But yes, for a very short period of time, I wanted to shake him really hard. So talking about this incredible story of where you came from and how you've gotten to the point you're at, how does your art fit into your life now and work with what you're doing for income? Do you have the side hustle? How much art are you able to do? How do you schedule it?
Right now, I'm a full-time truck driver. As far as like my money, I always say I truck drive for the tubes of paint. It's what funds the art, and which leaves me able to be comfortable in things like pricing and things like that, like being comfortable with my price and not backing down from those things, because I have the financial security of being a truck driver that I don't have to, I'm not belly hungry, so to speak, to sell the work as much. That's a good thing, but that's also, it could be a bad thing too. But I basically work full time as a truck driver. And then as soon as I get off work, I'm painting. So every spare time that I get, it's done painting. And it's, like I said, small baby steps. So soon I'm going to be taking a full time position at work, and I'm going to be being a seasonal driver. So I'll work during the winter months, and then I'll be off during the summer months, so I can take my art around the country and go to fairs and things like that, and try to find a gallery, so to speak, that would be more than happy to have my work inside and different states and stuff like that.
That works really well. And you've been all over, so you'll have a knowledge of where probably would be a good fit for you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm, yeah, like Seattle, Chicago, things like that would be like an area where I'm wanting to attack. I'm still honestly like, I don't know where my art fits into any specific kind of category. You mentioned talking about abstract reality. And that kind of fits in with me. That's what I would consider my style. So I have this like theory, it's a running theory. So it's like, it goes and it changes too. So I believe that true art comes from children. And I believe that, like, because before society changes an artist and tells them like, you should do this or you should do that, or, you know, learning things and growing, yes, but also you're losing something. There's an innocence to a child's work that they don't really care. They don't care about the color or what they're, you know what I mean? They're just free in total relaxation and zen when they're in that moment, and they love what they're doing, you know? And I've seen some work from my own son that like blew me away, and I was like, wow, you know? And that's what I try to harness in my own work, is trying to see the world through a child's eye, basically. And I'm trying to like go back to that when I'm forever like trying to like view the world in shapes and distorted figures and things like that. I'm always trying to like twist it in any way that I can.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean about that, with the raw innocence and immediacy of a child's drawings. I have my kids' drawings around me that are from a whole span of years, but the ones I like the best are the ones when they were just learning to hold a crayon. Mm-hmm. And they're so pure. And it, you know, an adult can mimic a child's art. Like I could try to literally recreate my child's art, and it's still not going to feel the same, but I love that. And I still try to put that into my work on some level. Although I think you get a lot closer to that naturally with your style than I do, but I see the value in that. And I know exactly what you're talking about, that connection.
Mm-hmm. I really admire like the growth of my son's work. So I kept a sketchbook from when he was like three, and I always have him fill them up until now. So he started drawing like these stick figures, right, when he was like three, and like he was trying to put fingers on it too. So I thought that would be fascinating at the age of three, and I was like, wow, that's really good. To like most kids, like, you know what I mean, when you try to like put things in a 3D kind of like setting at the age of like five, I was like, and he's doing this all on his own. I'm not telling him to do anything, and I'm not, you know, enforcing anything on him at all. And I don't want to. I want him to be able to draw for the sake of drawing, you know, and like be totally free in that. And I think that's what I want. I want a full-time career in art, but I also want to be totally free.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do that. We envision the part that we like, or we're really addicted to, right in the midst of our creative storm, where we're just plugged in. I basically liken it to like the aliens beam me up. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time. I can look up and it'll be dark out.
Oh my God.
Same. Like, my husband will come in and be like, it's like I just got beamed back. And I'm like, yeah. Like, where am I? And I just, it's a little scary, but.
When do you start? When do you, what time? Do you have a time that you start in your studio?
I've had different artists and friends tell me they have styles where they can just jump in, jump out, do an hour here, an hour there. I know myself, I cannot get anywhere near my easel when we're going somewhere or I'm expected to be doing anything other than be completely submersed in that painting for less than like 2-3 hours. So. Right. I aim for solid blocks of like, usually I paint from 4 to 8 hours at a time, and I try to take meal breaks, but I'll get to the point where I'll forget to eat. So
same.
It's a very obsessive thing.
Oh yeah. I always said there should be like an AA for artists.
I don't like, want to, you know,
like,
what?
Like a recovery center that
I don't want to recover. I just want,
well, me neither.
To stay there. I just want you somebody know? To bring me like an IV so I can keep going.
Yeah, I know. if I wake up, it's strange. Like if I get 6 to 8 hours of sleep and I'm off work, like on the weekends, it's really like this. But I really try to, if I wake up at like, let's say I wake up in the middle of the night, at like two in the morning, because usually truck driving for me starts at that time.
Yeah.
I'm at work at 2 in the morning and I'm off usually by 2 in the afternoon. So I have from 2 in the afternoon to when I go to bed to paint, right? So I usually on the weekends, I'll wake up at 2 or 4 and I'll be in the studio immediately. I won't make the choice to go back to bed. I'll just go in the studio. And then as soon as I'm in there, like you said, it takes about 20 minutes to get into that like zen state of mind. And like once you're in it, you're kind of locked, and like the time goes like so quick. And I look at my artwork and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even like do that much, or it felt like that at least. And I'm like, I time just like goes on and on and on, like, and I don't even see it going. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Especially up here where it's like bright and lit outside most of the day, and like it's 9 o'clock at night and it's still lit outside. And
I'm, it's like Alaska.
Yeah, I'm like, what is going on here? I feel like I have a long day, but it's really not.
It's great though. I learned a long time ago to paint when the urge strikes. And I say paint for the rest of our audience, whatever your art is,
you know, whatever your fix. For me, it was, I used to paint in the attic when I was in college, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and I couldn't go back to sleep and I'd be thinking about that painting. And finally, I just started giving into it. And my poor dad at the time, the bathroom was right on the other side of the attic stairs, but it was that kind of fold down stairs that would make a lot of noise with the big springs. And so it's 2 a.m. It's usually when I would wake up and it would go chung, you know, and I'm like trying to open this door. And so I would just leave it there and I'm up painting at my easel and he's up now. It's like 6 a.m. and I hear him and I'm thinking, like, can he even get, like, he had to duck around this. It basically blocked the door. I don't know. He was on like all fours trying to.
It's funny you mentioned that because we have a walk up. It's stairs to get to the attic and we're, I'm going to be redoing that for my studio in my house. So I'll be up in an attic pretty soon. It's a large space. This right here that I'm currently in is our master bedroom. Mm-hmm. And like Doug has given me the master bedroom for a studio. And like we have made a bedroom out of our dining room area.
Yes, that's what my husband did too. And, you know, God bless their husbands. So my husband gave the extra room in the house to me as well here. And I guess it was like a den when we moved in, but it's filled with light. It's got the big windows. Oh, yeah. And I'm just really grateful that he was like, you know what? When we moved up here, he was here working and I was still in central Wisconsin with the kids. And he did a video walkthrough. It was right during COVID. And he had his phone and he walked in and he showed me a view of the windows and he said, this is your studio.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, we chose well, my dear.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I can tell you got the big windows on both sides and I think it's nice.
Yep. You did a good job yourself. So I'm proud of us both. So tell me about, we're talking about making time for your art. Tell me about your business plan. I know that your goal is to get to the point where you can do this probably full-time or more dedicated. Mm-hmm. You're selling your work online. Is that working for you? Is that new for you? What's going
it's
on
new.
With you business-wise?
It's new. The selling on the whole website, I fail as far as like website. My Doug helps me out a lot on that front. I'm not computer savvy at all. And it's frustrating. And I think all artists, I think we get frustrated with technology and trying to like being the business side of art is like not like creative and like fun as it is to just paint, right? So Doug helps me out a lot on that front. I am selling, yes, it's for sale, but you can go view the artwork and things like that. But right now I'm more focused on selling me than the artwork. So if that makes any sense, I'm putting me out front because nobody knows who I am. So that's the product that's being sold is Jacob, you know? And then I'm hoping and I'm planning on making sales in the future based on like after that kind of like move. So I'm going to be soon to be working with an ad agency and possibly financing some advertisement through them and also doing like local shows every year, traveling, doing shows that way, getting my name out there. Cause I think that's the most important thing is just introducing yourself to the world. I'm very new to the whole like, where to go and like what to do. And like, all I know is like, I have to be in my studio and paint like that's and time, like you said, flies. So it's like, it feels like you don't have a lot of time to do any of the other things, but in reality you do, you just have to like plan it and schedule it. And, but, all I want to do is paint. I wish I could just hire like somebody to take care of everything for me. And then like, I can just be in the studio and like, you know what I mean? And that's what I want. I just want to paint. If that makes as simple as it can be.
I completely get it. And I think that a lot of artists feel that way. I think most of us feel that way, even if we are doing something on the side, or even if the majority of the hours of my week are doing that other thing.
Right.
It's more the mentality of whatever I choose to do with those other hours provides me with the mental focus that I need to be able to create. And you mentioned it. You were talking about, is it, what'd you call it? Your food money?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And I know when I talked to Kira Barsotti last week, we talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And that had to do with when people are in survival mode, they tend to constrict on themselves back down to their basic functions. They need to have the food, they need to have the shelter, things like that. When there's no income, things get a lot more immediate. And then when we're providing that base underneath ourselves, we can expand into the creative mind and get more into that whole prefrontal cortex thing. So there are times when it makes sense to choose to have an outside source of income. Whatever the hours are, it really doesn't matter as long as you can work in the ability to get that art created. So it's different for everybody.
And I agree. And I'm more about, as far as the art goes, I'm more about, like, not so much as selling the artwork as I am like people just honestly getting to see it. You know what I mean? I just really appreciate people being able to see the work and seeing my voice, kind of thing. So, my art is more important than me. You know, it has to be, you know, it has to be put up front and center, you know, because when I go and I die, I want the art to live. I don't want it to be in like a random like trash can or Goodwill bin, or I want it to be protected and things like that. That's my goal. My goal is for it to be somewhere where it can just be, you know, safe and then have a forever home, basically. And that's what I'm looking for and I hope for the future.
Wow. You know, you just made me realize that that's kind of where I'm coming from too. I think for us, in a lot of ways, I wonder if other artists are out there thinking the same thing, is that our art, it's like our creations are our babies and we're thinking about what's going to happen to them when I'm gone.
Right.
who's going to love them? So yeah, it has a lot to do with legacy, but not as much from, I think it may sound contradictory, but from an ego point of view, then that legacy of feeling like that's part of you and you want it to be cared for after you're gone. If that makes any sense.
I totally get it. And that's what I'm most afraid. I would say if I have a fear, it would be that my art would be forgotten and lost in time. It's not so much me. I'll find a way to feed myself and survive, right? As long as I can have a, you know, a paintbrush and some tubes of paint and, you know, and a canvas or a surface of any kind to paint on. Like, I'm good during my lifetime, right? But it's what's, especially like, you'll have a piece, you know, I'm sure you feel this way. Like, there are certain pieces where you're like, oh, that's good. And then there are certain pieces where it's like, oh, you know, it's like, how did I do that? You know what I mean? Like it really came together, you know, and like, you feel really good about it. And like those pieces, I'm like, oh, I hope like they get somewhere. Someone takes them and protects them forever and ever. And that's why it's important to me to keep going and get my art out there, because I'm looking for a forever home.
Yes. Amen. And you were talking about all the things your art means to you. And I think that even though you say it's not about you and you want to put the art front and center, it will probably be interesting to add some videos to your website that talk somewhat about the art on some level, even if it's not. And that may be something. I'm curious. I want to talk about your marketing strategy and how you feel about that. If you think that feels right to you, I'm going to be starting to do that with my own work.
Basically, what do you mean, like, talk about it?
I don't know if you've listened to anything from Marcus Sheridan, but there's an interesting interview that I did with him about marketing your art on video. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how his daughter made a painting, and I guess she had a painting of her making the art. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much she talked about it, but we talked about the equity in getting on video and talking about the meaning of that piece for you and how much you should explain a piece of art. And what I found is that some people really want to know, and it can really bring interest to your work from other people when they can get to know what that painting is about, even if it's just a little bit, and that's really something people hunger for. So I think for me, what I would do is probably provide some kind of overview of the art meaning for me, and then an actual more in-depth video. And if people want to know, I can put spoiler alert, you know, only watch this if you really want to know, because some people don't. They just want to know. They know what it means to them. And so I'm curious, what is your marketing strategy for your art? And do you think you would ever get on video and talk about your art per piece on your website? Do you think that has any value for marketing?
I actually was thinking about putting some videos on my website specifically that would talk about the art itself. Little Easter eggs, so to speak. But right now I do that exact thing on Instagram. So on my Instagram, I'm always like telling my audience about you know, what's going on in the piece, where I am and what it's about and what it means and things like that. I'm always like explaining, like, or even if I just like figure it out, because I'm more of a process kind of painter, but I actually like to think of myself as like the in-between kind of person. So, and I'll explain that in a bit, but I find that when something like really works in the painting, I'm looking at this painting over here because it's like really working. And then like, and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't notice I was doing that, but I was. And I was like, I put the pieces together and I was like, wow, that's interesting. And then I have to like tell people about it. So I'll get on Instagram and I'll be like, I just figured something out. And like, and I have to like, I'm excited to tell everybody. And then like, I'm not good with like a camera or like, you know, you get camera shy or things like that. So, and I don't like the sound of my voice on a phone or anything like that either. So, but I post it and I'm just truly excited about the whole process. I like the surprises that you get along the way. But as far as marketing, I love putting things online on Facebook, going to events and passing out like flyers, things like that. I like going to local coffee shops and like seeing if they can just put my artwork up for, even if it's a week, put it up there to get people's, you know, their eyes attached to it. So right now I'm trying to get into a candy shop up here called Donkers. I don't know if you heard of it. It's up in Marquette, Michigan. And I'm trying to get my painting, the one with the lollipop, I think I sent you.
Yep, that's a perfect match.
And I'm trying to get that into the candy store, so to speak, because I think it's great for that sort of environment. And like that's like, it's just me trying like little new things. And I'm, like I said, I'm still new at it.
So yeah, I think that's a great alignment to do the candy store. I love mm-hmm. how you're thinking creatively and thinking about different venues on different levels, whether it's handing out flyers or looking for a place to hang the piece, even if you're not expecting or looking to sell it in that place. Right. Where is a good alignment to get it in front of eyes, to get
people aware of you? This wraps up part one of my interview with American painter Jacob Bartanis. Don't miss the second half of this interview with many more great insights from Jacob. It's available now at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode82. Don't forget that in addition to my full masterclass, The Portrait Code, there are now 7 standalone spotlight classes for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. Something for everyone. You can check them all out at PassionatePainterAcademy.com. Until next time, go make something.